and Gio.
BT and Sal.
Kevin and Tiki.
Keith McPherson, your nighttime host on The Fan.
On The Fan.
On The Fan.
On The Fan.
It's WFAN Daily, hosted by Pete Hoffman.
Congratulations, Yankee fans. You're back. You won a game. You did not get swept. There was no sweeping the Bronx. There was no sweeping in Brooklyn. There was no sweeping in the Bronx. There's no sweeping in Queens. There's no sweeping anywhere in New York. And got lucky. Not saying got lucky, but stopped the bleeding for a day. Now, the first thing, before we get to the game, the first exciting news that I saw was that Anthony Volpe wasn't playing. And I'm not sitting here and trying to dump on Anthony Volpe, but I thought it was a good move by Aaron Boone or whomever it is who puts together the lineup and says, you know what? Anthony Volpe needs to sit. He is not playing good defense. His numbers have been really crappy again. Let's take a breather. Guess what? Francisco Alvarez went down to the minors with the Mets, came back, and up until he needed surgery on his thumb the other day, he was hitting the ball a lot better. His defense was good, improving, getting back to where it was supposed to be, and he was hitting the ball. Kyle Tucker with the Chicago Cubs, who didn't have a home run for about a month or two, I think it was. I think it was June 1st was his last home run that he had hit. He sat for three games. It happened to be a doubleheader of one of them, but he sat for three games. And he hit three home runs in 2 days after that. And he gotten a base hit in every game coming back from taking a seat. And the point is, if this is something, now I did not like seeing Volpe back in there for defensive purposes, because guess what? What has been the issue with Anthony Volpe? The biggest issue. Yes, his bat recently, but his defense all year has been shit. So let's be serious. Why are we putting him in there for defense? It was more because Giancarlo Stanton's in right field, and they can't have him play right field. At least they don't want to have him playing right field with, you know, in the later parts of the game, because they do not want him to cost a game out there in right field. Okay, fine. Maybe also because they also don't want him to get hurt. That's the other thing of it too. You don't want Giancarlo Stanton out there, who's the only guy right now, other than Aaron Judge, who's batting over 300 or close to it. Guy is just continuously mashing the ball. And I love to say this at least once a podcast. Anybody that doesn't want Aaron Judge on your team, or excuse me, Giancarlo Stanton on your team, let me know. I'll try to make a couple calls. I'll do what I can. I will gladly take him on the New York Mets. Today, tomorrow, yesterday, 3 days from now, playoff time, next year, I will take him. No doubt about it. As a DH, no doubt about it. I understand your issues with him in the right field. Okay, I get it. But for a clutch hitter, I mean, he's still as good as they come, man. I don't care. I don't care how ugly of a swing you think he is, how ugly of a stance you think he has. That guy is money. When he's right, he is money. And this year so far, as long as he's played, he has been right and he's been money. He's even in doubles and got a double. He was able to run to second base. Think about that. It wasn't like he just hit a ball in the gap and couldn't get. No, he actually ran or jogged to second base. I don't think it was going to be a triple, but listen, he's got a little speed left in him. That being said, good win by the Yankees. Much needed. Again, Volpe, happy he sat. That was the whole thing. I was just happy that Volpe sat. Surprised he went over there for defense. We'll see if he starts again tomorrow, the next game. We will see how it goes from there. But clearly something needed to change, and he needs his head to clear up a little bit. And hopefully they give him an actual like few days of rest, because you can win without Anthony Volpe. You can't always win with Anthony Volpe, but you can win without him. Okay? Now, that being said, Carlos Rodon has done something that he's been doing for a majority of the season, and that's shutting down offenses. He's done a really good job. I will admit, you know, when he signed this contract, you know, a few years ago, I was not high on Carlos Rodon going to any team that I wanted to see on a regular basis, because Carlos Rodon is not very consistent. He really is not. He is somebody that if you saw this first year, his ERA was above six, pitched about 60 innings, he's getting hurt, all this nonsense. Even last year, pitching closer to a four, I know it was like a 3.95, but closer to a four ERA was not what you really wanted out of a pitcher that you're going to have here for 5-6 years. You gave a lot of money to, you're going to see him often, he's going to be in big spots. Carlos Rodon was not really that guy. But this year, he has stepped up. He's performed great. And he's given the Yankees a lot of life in a season where they really need it. Not saying that Max Fried, you know, wasn't the ace of the staff for the majority of the season. But Carlos Rodon was that 1A, 1B, you know? Max Fried 1A, Rodon 1B. Obviously, Fried's scuffled it a little bit up until the other day. But Rodon has definitely picked up the slack that Gerrit Cole kind of unfortunately wasn't here to pick up. So good for Carlos Rodon. He had a couple key home runs from Josh Chisholm. He had a couple key home runs from Trent Grisham. And it's funny. You know, I don't know if anybody really misses Jason Dominguez much. You know, when you look at a lineup of what it was today, you know, obviously you got Bellinger in left field. You got Grisham in center field. And when Grisham seems to be playing often and playing right, and he plays a hell of a center field, no one can sit there and deny that. Bellinger is a great defender any spot. Left field, center field, right field, first base. Trent Grisham obviously is a good first center fielder. And it just proves that their experiment and stubbornness with Dominguez in left field needed to stop. Like, you don't need to put that out there every day. He is not ready for the bigs. Come playoff time, I don't really want to see Dominguez out there. There's not many matchups that I think that Dominguez is above and beyond better than Trent Grisham or Cody Bellinger. Just not in the outfield. It's not. And once Judge comes back and can play the field, if he can play the field at all, I understand what happened. Again, I've been off all week, so I didn't get to see or hear everything on the air, but I did hear from Aaron Boone, heard his comments about Aaron Judge. Not sure if you're ever going to see him this year, at least, throw the ball the way he once was. So that means Judge might not come back and play the field the rest of the season, and playoffs included. He may just need to be playing DH the rest of the way, and that means Stanton's going to be playing right field for a majority of it. But I'd still prefer to see that than Jason Dominguez in left field, DHing. I think you have a much better, stronger team when Dominguez, unfortunately, is not there. It's just the truth. Now, that being said, the Red Sox beat the piss out of the Yankees 3 of the first 4 games. You know, huge comeback on Thursday. Saturday's game was just an utter embarrassment. And Friday, you know, you had a really good pitching duel. Max Fried did a good job, but there was no offense. And the one thing that we constantly say about the Yankees, they are amazing when they're hitting home runs. That's how they win ball games. They're not going to kill you with the small ball. We know how it is. Get a couple runners on, and someone's got to put it in the seats to score runs. That's how they do it. Very rarely are they compiling a bunch of hits and scoring runs, and that's frustrating. And unfortunately, for 3 out of the 4 games, they were not putting the ball in the seats. Just wasn't happening. Stanton aside. But they just were not putting the ball in the seats. And, you know, when you go up against a guy like Brian Bello, who, young kid, but has been pitching pretty well this season for the Red Sox, Garrett Crochet, which, you know, I understand that. I respect that. He's virtually unhittable at this point in time. You're going to have to see him for a long time because the Red Sox locked him up for a few years. I think was it 5 or 6 years they locked him up for? So you're going to have to see him and deal with him for a while. You're going to have to figure that out, especially for the playoffs, for whatever. But that is the good thing, is the Yankees at least minimize the damage. I understand there was a switch. There was a change. Red Sox took over that spot for the wild card, and the Yankees, they had the flip-flop, unfortunately. Hey, that's baseball. Now it's time to get back, get right, okay? And there's still plenty of time to do it. There's a month left, month and a week left. There is plenty of time to not screw this up. And that's really what it comes down to, is don't screw it up. The Yankees have everything in front of them. They have arguably a good enough lead in the wild card. They should be able to pass the Red Sox again. I said this on air on Saturday morning on my Saturday morning show on WFAN. I think that the only team in the American League that can stop the Yankees or is going to give the Yankees a ton of trouble is the Astros. That's it. I'm not really worried about the Red Sox. I know they look good this series. I know that they were going for eight in a row versus the Yankees this season. Yeah, that's, I understand that's not great, but that's not always how it goes. That's not always how it is. And I got to be honest with you, I don't trust some of these other teams. I don't trust the Toronto Blue Jays. I don't trust the Toronto Blue Jays at all. They just lost to Miami, 5-3, Miami Marlins, who has been fading. They were a team that was close. They were looking like they were up there trying to make a playoff push, and then they just started to fade. But yet they beat the Toronto Blue Jays. I understand it. It's 162 games. We're going to overanalyze everything. But the reality is their bullpen has been lackluster. Jeff Hoffman, their closer, has not been dynamite. So there are a ton of issues with Toronto Blue Jays. The one issue that they do have to present is they brought in Shane Bieber, who is now an ace-like pitcher for the Blue Jays. So you add him to that pitching staff, that's going to be a little bit of a headache. But we'll get there when we get there. Again, besides that, the Tigers, they lost to the Royals today. I think the final score was 10-8. Their pitching staff doesn't look all that fantastic besides Tarik Skubal. Flaherty has his issues. The bullpen blows up more than you think. They've been a very paper Tiger team, as I always say. There's too many teams that the Yankees shouldn't be scared of. Now, listen, if the Yankees don't show up in the playoffs and they are there, you know, if Judge doesn't show up, if the pitching staff doesn't show up, if the bullpen it collapses, the defense is non-existent like it was in the World Series, yes, you're going to have a hard time. But I still say they're one of two teams that can get to the World Series in the American League. Now, as far as the New York Mets, it's a completely different story. I mean, they should have swept the Braves. There was no reason why they lost Sunday versus the Braves. And I'll sit there and question Carlos Mendoza every time there's a bases loaded situation and your starting pitcher's still in. I am confused at how he allows this multiple times now. That there are so many moments that a starting pitcher gets deep into games. Sorry, not deep into games, gets to the fifth inning of a game or sixth inning of a game, and somehow will find a way that he's being pulled or in a spot where bases are loaded, and we have to scratch our heads saying, is it time to pull him now, or do we pull him after this batter? Do we bring in Tyler Rogers? What do we do? There are too many moments that Carlos Mendoza lets his starter go too long. He pulls some other guys too short. There is no feel. And I keep on saying this, and I mean it, and it's almost like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. I don't know if Carlos Mendoza would have gone to that bullpen at that point in time with bases loaded, and it was a Profar who was up, or whoever it was to tie the ball game, to get a base hit and tie the ball game and make it 2-2 sixth inning. I don't know if you would have brought in a bullpen arm and that they would have stopped and prevented anything from happening. What's got to stop is you seeing a guy not pitching effective as you get deeper into the game, whether it's the fifth inning, whether it's the sixth inning, and you have to prevent them from allowing bases to be loaded before you have to make a decision on whether it's time to go to the bullpen or do I let this guy go and face one more batter and try to get me to the last out of the inning. It keeps on happening too often. It feels like every game that is blown, it's the same way. In the past, we've had Sean Manaea, Kodai Senga, whoever it is come, you know, bases loaded. What do we do? Hey, let's call in the bullpen now. Tyler Rogers, you're a guy who's really consistent and you have a rubber arm and we can use you every day. So you should be able to get this guy out. I know you're not going to strike him out, but you should be able to get contact that we can get this guy out. And then a soft hit to outfield drives in a run or two, and either the game gets blown open or it gets tied. In this case, David Peterson gave a soft hit to left field, tie ball game. It's the same crap every single game. And I just don't know if it's – am I supposed to be blaming Mendoza that he's not – he's allowing it to get that far? Is it Mendoza not understanding, like, maybe it's the pitch selection? Maybe it's Hefner's strategy with bases loaded? Maybe there's a better approach to pitching with bases loaded? I don't know. But there's got to be a different way. Maybe you bring your flamethrower out and try to get a strikeout. I don't know. But it's soft contact every single time. The same thing happens. So maybe it is a mix of Mendoza not reading the situation right, Hefner not really calling the right pitches, and it just keeps on. It's a cycle. It's a circle. It's chaos. It is insanity the way that the Mets keep on blowing games over and over. It's the same way, and it's got to stop. Because let me tell you something, Carlos Mendoza, you're having issues now. Having issues now. If you make the playoffs and you have these same issues and these same decisions and you keep failing, whew, we're going to have problems. There's going to be a lot of issues. And first of all, the Mets got to make the playoffs. And I don't know. I said it on the Saturday morning show too, along with other things. The Mets need to make the playoffs. Otherwise, David Stearns is going to have problems, because if you don't think that the offseason is going to be me and other people just completely and utterly bashing David Stearns for his poor decisions in the offseason, during the trade deadline, ooh, get ready, okay? It has been a brutal last 2 months to this New York Mets baseball season, and it's sickening, it's aggravating. The Mets won 2 out of 3 games, and all I could think of is this team sucks. Why? Why is that? Why shouldn't we like, they should have swept. Why didn't they sweep? How do they not have a comeback in them? Like, you know, Pete Alonso all series long was getting under the ball. He was terrible. Maybe he should have sat today. I know you gave him the break. He didn't play. He didn't play the field, but he played DH. Maybe you sit him. You know? This team is frustrating. The bullpen completely sucks. Doesn't make a difference what inning it is, what moment it is. David Stearns failed with the bullpen. There's one guy that's reliable. I know every time we talk about Evan talks about his circle of trust for the New York Mets bullpen. There is no circle of trust. It's one guy. It's Edwin Diaz. That's it. I don't trust a soul. I don't care. Ryan Helsley, Tyler Rogers, Gregory Soto. I don't trust anyone. They're all able to blow up at any second. And that's a problem, because when your offense goes ice cold against the Atlanta Braves starting pitching, which is not very good. And you did have 2 days, you know, 21 hits on Friday was great. Yesterday being able to again, put up another ton of runs was fantastic. 9 runs. So you had 12, 9, and then you put up 3 runs. There was a little fight towards the later innings, but this team constantly in the biggest spots disappears. And Juan Soto, I'm happy he got a base hit in the ninth inning and drove in a run. Like, that was very needed. We still haven't seen the Juan Soto moment yet. Like, think about that. It's August 24th. We haven't seen a Juan Soto moment yet. He hasn't had his Mets moment. People are like, oh, you could say, well, he's had a bunch of solo. He's had 32 home runs. He's got 70-plus RBIs. He's stolen 20 bases. You know, guy's doing well. Yes, he's doing well. I need a moment from Juan Soto. And that was it on Sunday. Again, another one that was like, this is it, dude. You put this one in the seats, I'm popping champagne. I'm getting crazy. I am kissing David Stearns and Steve Cohen on the mouth and saying, thank you. Thank you for bringing this man and bringing him to Queens. Instead, I'm going, oh, that was good. That was good. Better than a walk, because I'm tired of watching Juan Soto walk. Like, I know he knows how to walk. I need him to, if let me put it this way. If he gets to 3-2, that means that there were pitches that were over the plate that he should have been able to hit. He's a professional hitter. He's usually really good at fighting off pitches, driving pitches, finding ways to get on base. He's the professional. If there's strikes that are over the plate being called, he should be able to hit them. And that's just my expectation of a professional hitter, because that's what he is. He is a professional hitter. He's got a great eye. I get it. But I'm sick and tired of watching him walk on a full count or get to 3-0 and then waste two pitches that go right over the plate because he doesn't need to swing because it's still his count. He could wait for it to get to 3-2, and then he'll, you know, then the guy's forced to throw a strike, and then he knows what's like. I get it. You have your strategy, you're patient, but sometimes, dude, like in the playoffs, if that's the spot and he's walking, it's not good enough. It's not good enough, especially when Pete Alonso comes and either pops up or grounds out. It's just not good enough. So, Mets still in the playoff hunt, still in the playoffs currently, but the Reds had a big win, and now they are a game and a half again behind the Mets for that final wild card spot. It is getting too close. And now you got the Philadelphia Phillies coming to Citi Field where the Mets have played well, but they haven't been playing well, period. And now they're playing against the Phillies team who are 7 games ahead of you. There is a lot of work you could do in these next 3 games. You cannot get swept. You cannot get swept, and you have to win the series if you really want to. And I've seen people now. I saw Sal Acuña put it out there already. NL East is over. I think even Evan on the Rico Bronya just now we did a few hours ago. NL East is over. Well, I didn't think they were going to make the playoffs after, you know, depending on what this week was going to give us, and they did enough to keep themselves in the race. This team could die quickly. They really can at any moment. You know, if they lose the next 3 games, they're done. But then it's still the Reds have to get hot. The Reds are playing tough baseball. They're playing a Diamondbacks team that didn't want to lose either. So they're having a tough schedule. So it's almost like the Mets, though they suck right now and don't want to play good baseball and don't want to win and don't want to make the playoffs and don't have any fight right now, they're still just kind of creeping in. It's almost like when the year the Bengals gave the Jets an opportunity to get into the playoffs because the Bengals had locked up a playoff spot. They sat their players. They didn't play hard. They let the Jets walk into the playoffs. And everyone's like, oh, you know, they didn't deserve to get in there. Hey, they got in there, and guess what happened? They got to the AFC Championship game. Or one of the years they got to the AFC Championship game. So all you got to do is get in. You just never know in sports. And the Reds not winning helps a ton. But the Mets aren't helping themselves either. It would make me feel better if they were winning more games. You can't go to Washington and lose 2 of 3. Like, that's gross. Like, I wanted to stab my eye out as I was, or actually, I was more listening to it than anything else. I wanted to bury a pen through my eardrum as I was listening to Sean Manaea give away that game in Washington the other day. The Mets just continue to find ways to give away games. Their pitching staff sucks. I'm sorry. This year, it's terrible. Yeah, and you could sit there and say, oh, bring up Brandon Sproat, but Brandon Sproat got crushed today because the Mets are trying to be cute again and like, let's work an opener with Brandon Sproat. Let's see how he does coming in a game, not starting. How about this? Just make him your freaking starting pitcher. Because look at what happened with Nolan McLean. The guy pitched 2 games in the majors, and in the second start, he gets 7 innings deep. Goes 7 innings, 0 walks, 4 hits, 2 runs, 7 strikeouts in 7 innings. Besides David Peterson, name me the last Met in 2 months that has done that. I'll keep waiting. You're not going to name one. Stop trying to be too cute. That's the issue with David Stearns right now. He's the smartest person in the room making the dumbest decisions. So it's got to end. Thank you for listening to another episode of WFAN Daily with your host, Pete Hoffman. I am back. I'm the summer trips are over. I am here. I was away at Disney. That's a story for another day. If you heard my Saturday show, then maybe you heard a little bit of it, but we'll get into, I'll give you a little lay down from my Disney trip because it was miserable. As always. I mean, it was great. I'll be back tomorrow with BT and Sal. Actually, Sal's off the next 2 days. BT will be in. And then Sal is off in on Wednesday. And then Moose is in Thursday, Friday. And then I think the next week, the gang is back together. And football will be here before you know it. Thank God preseason is done. It was not exhausting, but it's time. Let's move on to the season. Let's get there and get ready. Listen, there's going to be a lot going on in September where we're going to be obviously football, the baseball playoffs are building up, basketball and hockey around the corner. There is going to be a ton. So get ready every night on YouTube, every morning in your podcast or where, you know, wherever you get your podcast, just get ready. Every morning you wake up, there'll be a new WFAN Daily Monday through Friday. So make sure you are there. Like, subscribe, all that stuff. YouTube, please subscribe there as well. You can always follow me at Hoff WFAN on all social media platforms. Thank you again for listening, following, and I will see you guys later on another episode of WFAN Daily. See ya.